This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can contribute to the program. Hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. We have Sunday Night Baseball coming your way from Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. In about 20 minutes from now, the Phillies taking on the New York Yankees, the finale of a three-game set in which the Phillies are looking to avoid the three-game sweep at the hands of the New York Yankees, and they are poised to do so tonight with their ace, Christopher Sanchez, on the bump going up against Will Warren for the New York Yankees. Depending on the book that you look at, you have the Phillies at minus 200, minus 218, so north of $2 favorites right now as money keeps coming in on Philadelphia. My official play in this game is the Phillies in the first five innings. I'm laying the half a run, so I need the Phillies to have a lead after five innings. We'll get more into this game coming up in about 10 minutes or so from now. We're going to be joined by Tony Cotullo from Philadelphia, get his take on Christopher Sanchez, the Phillies, and what bets he has for first pitch coming up in about 20 minutes or so from now with Sunday Night Baseball. But the reason why I love the Phillies in this spot, real simple, it's Christopher Sanchez at home. We've talked about this ad nauseum now. The guy's splits are absolutely ridiculous when you look at his starts at Citizens Bank Park versus his starts on the road. This season, Sanchez has made 12 starts at home, 9 starts on the road. In his 12 starts at home, he has a 1.03 ERA. Opponents are batting 197 against him, and he's only allowed 2 home runs in 78 and a third innings. And that's in a home run hitter's ballpark in Philadelphia. In 9 road starts, Sanchez has a 4.97 ERA. Opponents batting 330 against him. And he's allowed 10 home runs in just 54 and a third innings. The numbers speak for themselves how much better he is at home versus on the road. So backing Christopher Sanchez at home, it's damn near an auto play. And then you consider the Yankees lineup is just absolutely depleted right now. They just placed Cody Bellinger on the 10-day IL. So Spencer Jones got recalled. The Yankees are just a shell of themselves right now offensively. And yes, they won the first two games of this series against the Phillies. Great starting effort by Cam Schlittler, the American League Cy Young favorite, in the first game of the series. And then a low-scoring victory in game 2 of the series yesterday, despite both teams having plenty of hits. I mean, it was 7 hits apiece for both teams yesterday, but the Yankees win 3-1 thanks to Austin Wells and Jason Dominguez going deep. So tonight with Christopher Sanchez on the bump against Will Warren, I'm just backing Sanchez. I don't even want to get to the Phillies bullpen. Do I like the Phillies to win this game? Yes. Do I want to lay north of $2? No. Do I want to do the Phillies on the run line? Probably not, because I don't like doing home teams on the run line, because you're sacrificing an at-bat. You don't guarantee that ninth inning at-bat. And so it's very difficult to have that home team cover the 1.5 runs. I'd rather just take the Phillies to have a lead after five innings. So Phillies first five minus a half a run, my best bet for this Sunday night baseball game. But again, we're going to be joined by Tony Cotullo coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get his best bets, prop bets as well, for the Yankees and Phillies coming up Sunday night baseball here, first pitch in about 17 minutes from now. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. And Christopher Sanchez right now is tied with his teammate Zach Wheeler and Chris Sale of the Atlanta Braves as the co-second favorites to win the National League Cy Young Award. Right now, plus 750, the trio of Wheeler, Sanchez, and Sale. A good start by Christopher Sanchez tonight. He will take his place once again as the second favorite behind Jacob Mizorowski of the Milwaukee Brewers, who did something absolutely historic earlier here on Sunday. Jacob Mizorowski against the Colorado Rockies started the game by striking out 7 straight batters. He continued to strike out 12 of the first 13 batters he faced in 5 innings in the Brewers' 11-2 rout of the Rockies. He allowed just 1 hit and 1 run, and he became the first pitcher since 1920 with 11 strikeouts and no hits allowed through four innings. The velocity at a record high, over 104 miles per hour, fastest pitch all in the league. All this is crazy. He threw all 66 of the game's fastest pitches, okay? The Major League Baseball record for consecutive strikeouts to start a game was set by Pablo Lopez of the Marlins in 2021, okay? That was, let's see, was that 10 straight? The record for consecutive strikeouts at any point in a game is 10. Corbin Burns did that. Aaron Nola did that. Tom Seaver, the great Tom Seaver, did that. Mizorowski threw 100.3 miles per hour or faster, 104 miles per hour on his four-seam fastball. It's just unbelievable. Sets the modern-day record for the fastest pitch by a starting pitcher, 105.5 miles per hour. He had entered the game with the highest whiff rate of any starter, highest strikeout rate, and upped his league-leading strikeout total to 185. Right now, Mizorowski's a minus 260 favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award. Prior to his last start, when Miz was minus 550, and we talked about this at the All-Star break, how Zach Wheeler was the best bet to win the Cy Young Award, right? And his odds were much higher than the plus 750 that it is now. And I said, it makes no sense that Miz is minus 550 because he's going to be on an innings restriction for the remainder of the season. They skipped his start prior to the All-Star break. They skipped his start after the All-Star break. In his first start since the break, he only pitched four innings against the New York Mets. 60-somewhat pitches. And the reason why he only went four innings was because the Brewers publicly announced that they were going to be monitoring Miz's innings for the remainder of the season. They want him to be healthy and strong and as close to 100% as possible when the postseason comes around. You're not going to win in October if you don't have a healthy Jacob Mizorowski leading your rotation. So he only pitches four innings in that first start post All-Star break against the Mets. And then in this start here against the Rockies, he goes five innings. The innings could be the only reason that Miz does not win the Cy Young Award. Because if Wheeler and Sanchez continue to go out there and throw quality start after quality start, and Miz is only going four or five innings for the rest of the season, yeah, the start of the season was incredible. But now we're getting a guy who's only going four or five innings. Do the writers hold that against him over the rest of the season? And we still have plenty of baseball left to be played, an entire month of August, an entire month of September. Miz is going to have a lot of starts left. If he doesn't go more than five innings in any of those starts for the remainder of the season, do the writers hold that against him? And at minus 550, the argument was that could happen, and so it made no sense that he was minus 560. Minus 260 right now, as the odds have dropped, a little bit more reasonable. And now I'm starting to think that if it gets any shorter, like if this thing drops to minus 200 or so, because maybe Sanchez has a great start here, or maybe Wheeler has a great start, and maybe in his next start, Miz only goes four innings. I'm starting to think that it doesn't even matter. And then maybe you could buy in on Jacob Mizorowski to win the Cy Young at a reasonable price. Because the storyline and the novelty aspect of it is what is going to make the voters vote for Miz. Starting a game, striking out seven straight batters, striking out 12 of the first 13 that you face, every pitch is 103 miles per hour. I mean, this kid, there's a reason why he was placed in the All-Star game last year after barely pitching any innings coming in as a rookie. It made no sense, but you know what? It's the sensationalism of it all. And I think that's what could sway voters here when it comes time to submit their ballots. yeah, with all due respect to Zach Wheeler having a great year, Sanchez having a great year, and even though Miz in the second half only pitched four or five innings and a pop, it's the, like I said, the sensationalism, the 103 miles per hour, the record number of strikeouts, him just being unhittable. Voters might say he was the most dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball. Even if it was an innings restriction, no one was more dominant. And that's why he's going to win the National League Cy Young Award. But Christopher Sanchez could still make his case. He still has plenty of starts. And Sanchez and Miz, if you look at some of the advanced metrics, like the Sierra numbers that I look at, skill interactive ERA, guys are close. It's not as overwhelming of a gap between these guys. Jacob Mizorowski, 2.20 skill interactive ERA. Christopher Sanchez, second in all of Major League Baseball, 2.82. A great start here tonight by Sanchez, and all of a sudden, the advanced metrics look a lot closer between these two pitchers. But the sensationalism aspect of Jacob Mizorowski the thing that's going to be what sets him over the edge and wins him the National League Cy Young Award? But Sanchez has a chance to deal, and he has a chance to deal tonight. We'll talk more about Phillies Yankees coming up next. Tony Cotullo from Philadelphia will join us. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir and at VSIN Live. It's Live Bet Sunday here on the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're about 5 minutes away from first pitch of Sunday Night Baseball from Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies hosting the New York Yankees. Christopher Sanchez on the bump for the Phillies. Will Warren going for the Yankees. Philly up to -220 and the total of 8 in this ball game. You already know our best bet. We are on the Phillies, -0.5 run in the first 5, backing Sanchez and his stellar record here at home against a depleted Yankees lineup now without Cody Bellinger. We head on out to the Progressive Guest Line to talk more about Sunday Night Baseball and all things Philly sports. Tony Cotullo from BetQL Market Watch and the Tony Cotullo Not Just Philly Show. We'll get into other things as well. Tony, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes. We got 5 minutes before first pitch. What are your best bets here for Sunday Night Baseball between the Phillies and Yankees?
Oh, man, I'm excited, man. I'm actually, even a Philly guy, I agree with you. We're going to ride Sanchez, but I'm actually going to ride the props on Will Warren. And the reason why is because I watch a team that just strikes out against anybody. Weathers had 7 Ks against the Phillies right now. I mean, between him and Schiller, they have 19 Ks in 2 days. They pay out 9 per game. So I took Will Warren over 3.5 and actually laddered him up to 5 or more. And, you know, because I just look at this game, and even if the Phillies win, which I think they will, Scott, even when a win, man, they could strike out 10 times easily.
No, that's very true. And they are prone to it. What do you think we get out of Sanchez tonight? I mentioned the Yankees lineup is depleted. Now Cody Bellinger on the 10-day IL, Spencer Jones recalled, and they're already, of course, without Judge and Stanton. And the offensive production just hasn't been there. Even though the Yankees won the first 2 games of this 3-game set, he scored 4 runs in the first 2 games. So it's not exactly a lineup that you're threatened by right now.
No, it's really not. And this is the kind of spot that Sanchez really takes a hold of. A game where, you know, he needs to win just to salvage a game in the series. He's always had that pressure on him throughout his career, and he's always performed well and performed well to almost double-digit strikeouts. So to think that he wouldn't have that type of game, knowing that the lineup, or I should say the bullpen for the Philly, is depleted, I think this is a time where he goes probably 7 innings at least on the bump, and I wouldn't rule out 9 to 10 strikeouts tonight.
I like that. Maybe an ounce recorded prop on Sanchez here as we are about to get underway in a couple of minutes. Maybe we go over his outs recorded. I'm looking right now up on DK to see what they have. And I'm seeing, let's see, outs recorded. Sanchez is at 18.5. It's a big number. But does he get that deep? Does he get into the seventh? I mean, you mentioned it, the Philly bullpen a little bit depleted. So maybe they do stretch him out here tonight. And of course, Mattingly being an old school guy, maybe he does let the leash go a little bit. Any batter props that you like here in this game?
I actually took a three leg parlay on this game. I rode Will Warren with the over 3.5. Like I said earlier, I added in two guys to at least give us one strikeout. One of them is Brandon Marsh, who seems like he's on a free fall since probably 2 weeks going into the All-Star break for Philly. And another guy is Trent Grisham, man, because, you know, that changeup and that sweeper that Sanchez can throw, it just, listen, it stymies a lot of left-handed batters. So I took both of those guys to strike out at least once. So that was actually a nice boost on DK. Got me up to plus 265.
Tony, I just saw a fantastic bet on DK. Now, if you have access to this, let's put a sprinkle on it and let's have fun. We like Will Warren to get the strikeouts. We like the Phillies lineup to strike out. The race to three strikeouts up on DraftKings, Will Warren plus 235. Sanchez is minus 340. That's ridiculous. But Will Warren plus 235 to win the race to three strikeouts. I get it. Sanchez starts the top of the first inning. He can get three strikeouts before Will Warren even steps on the rubber. But it's plus 235. Let's take a shot on this.
I'm with you. And here's the thing. If you would have asked me this in May, I would say no way. But seeing what Sanchez has done over his last 3 to 4 starts, he started off really slow. He might not get cooking till the third inning. So I could definitely see this. And the Phillies batters are pushing, man. They are stressed. So I could easily see that's great value. That's a good find by you. I like that.
I like that a lot. You know, I also love betting walks is one of my favorite props to bet. And it could be pitcher walks, batter walks, things like that. And I look at the walks prop here. We're seeing, let's see, walks allowed for Sanchez over 1.5 is plus 113. Will Warren over 1.5 is minus 128. As much as the Phillies strike out, they can walk, especially when you have a guy like Kyle Schwarber who sees as many pitches as he sees. What do you think about Will Warren over 1.5 walks?
No, I definitely like that. You took the words right out of my mouth. The first thing I was thinking when you said that was Kyle Schwarber. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who doesn't buy in, right? You even watched him against, you know, Weathersley. It's like he wasn't buying into the sweeper. He's like, I'm not going in on it, right? So even Harper at times can work a really good count. It's the first three guys he's going to see. So I like that a lot. I think that's good value.
That was at minus 128. It's up on DraftKings right now. First pitch is coming up now here between the Yankees and Phillies from Citizens Bank Park. And I mean, part of me is a little jealous. I'm not even listening to this broadcast because it looks like joining Benetti in the booth here on Sunday Night Baseball is Girardi and Kruk. So that's a good little broadcast booth. I like it when because
any broadcast with John Kruk in it is good, man. I'll tell you, he is Philly gold. He really is.
It's one of the reasons we love watching Phillies broadcasts for Krucky, but also Girardi's got the angle with both of these teams, obviously with the Phillies and with the Yankees, and of course has broadcasted both of them as well as managed both of them. Sanchez taking the bump right now. Phillies and Yankees about to get underway. We are joined by Tony Cotillo from BetQL Market Watch, also the Tony Cotillo Show. You find him on Twitter there. Not just Philly, but let's talk Philly, Tony, because the big news that came a couple days ago, LeBron James making his final decision in that he is joining the Philadelphia 76ers. And immediately we saw the market react. Now, Philly, the Sixers before the Jaylen Brown trade, right, were 60 to 1 to win the NBA title. Odds completely shrink 20 to 1, 15 to 1. And then LeBron makes the announcements. Now they are the third favorite, co-third favorites. Knicks are still involved as well, but right behind the Thunder and the Spurs, around plus 900 or so to win the NBA title. Do you agree with the market move that has the Sixers now as the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
I really do. And it's hard. I'm taking the fanboy out. I'm taking the Philly bias out, right? Just looking at this guy as a whole and looking at, number one, how hard it is to win back-to-back championships when we're talking about the Knicks, right? Yep. It's such a grind to win one, let alone win two, which makes Michael so great for winning six and two three-peats. But, you know, looking at it as a whole and saying, Listen, this is the Philadelphia 76ers team that really took a team that was favored in Boston and ousted them in the first round. I mean, you look at that, you're like, what is going on here? How can this happen? And now you add, I don't care if he's 40, 41, 42, 43, doesn't matter. He's not built like us, right? And he comes in and he instantly grabs leadership for that team. It's something that they sorely missed. So looking at this, the East to me is wide open. I don't buy Giannis to Miami. I don't buy that team at all. I'm not a Giannis guy. I just think that they have too many holes. And this team has a ton of depth in Philly, Scott. So I do. I agree with that market for sure.
You know, the number that jumped out to me was the win total. It was pushed up to 50.5. And I still think that that's too low for this team. I think the floor for this team is 50 wins. The ceiling could be somewhat 55, 60 wins maybe. They won 45 games last year. And Joel Embiid was not healthy. And the thing with getting LeBron, Tony, and tell me if you agree, I think the player that this helps the most is Joel Embiid, not Jaylen Brown. I think this helps Joel Embiid because now there's not the same pressure on him to be healthy for the entirety of the season. He can take games off, and LeBron doesn't have to play the same type of defensive intensity, and he doesn't have to give 100% each night because there's other guys to pick up the slack. I think this helps Joel Embiid the most, but it helps everybody in this starting five and the depth that they have. I think 50.5 is a must over for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I love it. You were thinking the same thing. When I saw 50.5, I'm going, 50.5 to me should be a baseline. Like if we only finish with 50 or 51 wins, that's a disaster to me. I mean, this is a 55 to 58 win team easily, as long as they can stay healthy. And you said something about LeBron. I found a really nice bet on DK under specials that I like, and it's LeBron James to score 40 or more in any game for plus 180. And my logic with that is, yes, he helps Joel Embiid, but what he also does is he helps the Sixers when Joel doesn't play. Mm. He plays almost five positions at times. LeBron can play anywhere. Now when they go small, they have a 6'8", 6'9 guard that can actually fill in the middle every now and then. So he's going to have the opportunity when Joe misses games to lay up the scoreboard. And I think that he gets one or two games, especially at home, 40 or more. So I put that in just this morning.
It just takes one. It just takes one game, and I don't hate it. While I think LeBron, I mean, I'm going to be betting his assist props in like every game this year because I think he becomes like a facilitator on this team. But you're right. If there's a night where Embiid doesn't play, like LeBron can go off and get set up by Jaylen Brown, get set up by Tyrese Maxey in that pick and roll game. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's definitely a fascinating story, Tony, that we're going to be following as we get closer and closer to the start of the NBA season. Of course, we have the NFL season coming up. I'm sure we'll be talking to you as training camps get underway. We'll talk some Eagles, but good luck with your bets tonight. Sunday night baseball, Yankees and Phillies, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
There he is, Tony Cotillo. Check him out at Tony Cotillo Show, BetQL Market Watch as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we head to the bottom of the first inning at Citizens Bank Park. Christopher Sanchez, in that top of the first inning, allowed a leadoff single to Paul Goldschmidt on a pitch that was like in the dirt. Like Coldy was like playing cricket on that one. But then he proceeded to get Ben Rice to line out. He struck out Ahmed Rosario, and then Jason Dominguez grounded into a fielder's choice. So one strikeout for Christopher Sanchez, and now Will Warren takes the bump for the Yankees. Trey Turner leading off for the Phillies. We have the Phillies in the first five innings laying a half a run, but we also did that little sprinkle that we just talked about with our guest Tony Cotillo last segment about the Will Warren to win the race to three strikeouts. So let's see if he can win that race here going up. And I also liked his over 1.5 walks, but I didn't get that in. We'll see if he wins the race of three strikeouts, but I'll just be happy if the Phillies get out to a lead because that's the most important bet is Phillies in the first five. And it looks like Trey Turner is going to lead off with a triple. A leadoff triple for Trey Turner. It was basically a single to right field or right center field that goes past the Yankees center. Let's see. Base hit to right field. Yeah, that's just a bad angle taken by Grisham there. Wow. Trent Grisham takes a bad angle to the ball, and instead of fielding it for a single, it rolls all the way to the wall, and Trey Turner didn't hesitate, turning a double into a triple. So a leadoff triple for the Philadelphia Phillies as Kyle Schwarber bats here in the bottom of the first inning, and the Phillies are on their way. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSinLive. Taking a look at Major League Baseball, some of the results that happened earlier today. We spoke about Jacob Mizrowski's fantastic start for the Milwaukee Brewers as he increased his Cy Young resume, striking out the first seven batters that he faced, 12 of the first 13 batters. Only a five-inning effort, but just the historic start here for Jacob Mizrowski. Also earlier today, the Miami Marlins lost their 12th straight game. And I actually bet on the Miami Marlins today. I did. And it serves me right that I lost my bet. Like, how could I bet on this team? They might never win a game again. I mean, you want to talk about bad baseball. And I don't know what Clayton McCullough, their manager, who I actually bet, 15 days ago or so, I bet him plus 600 to win manager of the year in the National League because of how great of a storyline the Marlins were. Remember, we were going into the All-Star break talking about the Marlins being three games out of the National League East. We were talking about the Marlins being a wild card team if the season ended on that day. And the Marlins turning from sellers at the trade deadline to potential buyers at the trade deadline. They haven't won a game since. 12 straight losses. And earlier today, they were favored against the San Diego Padres. And you know how rare that is? I looked this up in the database, and the first instance in the database that I could find of a team that lost at least 11 straight games and was a favorite in their next game, you have to go back to 2004 for the first time in the database that that has happened. It has happened a total coming into today of 17 times, again, since 2004, 17 times that a team is on an 11-game or more losing streak, and then they were favored in their next game. Of those 17 instances since 2004, the favorite, those teams, like the Marlins were earlier today, 13-4 straight up. That's a trend that tells me it's not just noise, it's the market making the right decision. The market listing that team as a favorite for a reason. 13-4 is not something to just scoff at. Well, now make it 13-5 as Clayton McCullough really blew his bullpen decision against the Padres. The Marlins, and it serves me right because I'm a first five bettor. I mean, I'm on the Phillies here in the first five tonight. I'm a first five bettor primarily because I can't stand losing bets when the bullpen blows it for me. And so it serves me right for betting the Marlins. But you know what? I was a victim to the market. I was a victim to the trends. The matchup was great. And I felt, listen, what do they say in baseball? Momentum's only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. And as bad as Walker Buehler's been this year, I felt that Jansen Junk and the Marlins had the edge over Walker Buehler and the Padres. And the market agreed with me because the Marlins were like a minus 130 favorite despite losing 11 straight games. And what happens? Marlins get three runs off of Walker Buehler in the first three innings of the game. Jansen Junk finally gives up a run in the top of the fifth inning. The Marlins win the first five innings with a 3-1 lead. The 3-1 lead stayed until the top of the eighth inning when after three relievers combined to get 2 1/3 innings, Clayton McCullough decides to bring in Lake Bacher. The same Lake Bacher who cost me a game a couple of weeks ago when he got tagged for five runs against the A's without even getting an out in that appearance. The same Lake Bacher comes into the game against the Padres here today and gives up four runs in the top of the eighth inning on five hits, two of them home runs, and the Marlins lose 5-3 for their 12th straight loss. I speculated yesterday, and again, this is speculation. So let me preface everything that I'm about to say by saying that this is not fact. This is pure speculation. I am not inside the Marlins clubhouse. I am not familiar with the inner workings of the organization. I mean, I used to be when I had connections there. No, not now. But knowing human nature, knowing professional athletes, as I've interacted with them over the course of 25 years in this business, I'm wondering if when all the talk about the Marlins being, you know, not being sellers at the deadline and the Marlins going for it this year and being three games out of the National League East going into the All-Star break and being in a wild card position, I wonder if all that talk, all that positive talk on the Marlins was followed by the organization, and whether it's the owner, general manager, whomever, making it known to whether it's lower management, other levels of upper management, players, agents, whoever. I wonder if somebody in charge or some group in charge let it be known at that point that the Marlins were still going to be sellers. That the Marlins were, in fact, hey, very proud of the season that they've had to date. But with the trade deadline a month away, let's not be silly here. We're still going to be sellers. We're still a team that is building for the future. And maybe that sentiment leaked to the players, whether it's through agents, through the media, whatever. And it could have led to just a morale dip inside that clubhouse and thus a performance dip. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Marlins have lost 12 straight games since they were on top of the baseball world and everybody talking about how this team went from being sellers at the trade deadline coming up to now potentially staying put or even being buyers and going for a postseason run this year. I don't think it's a coincidence. I speculate that there was some sort of edict handed down that said, hey, listen, this is great, but guess what? Sandy Alcantara, we're still going to look to deal you. Hey, this player, we're still going to look to deal you. We are building for the future, and maybe that's caused this team to have a dip in their performance. 12 straight losses, and they don't look like they're going to turn it around anytime soon. We'll talk about Sandy Alcantara as well as the other top trade candidates around Major League Baseball coming up as the trade deadline is next week on August 3rd. Hey, the NFL preseason is going to be coming up August 6th, the Hall of Fame game. And this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. And then on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Plus, full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl. Get everything now before the price goes up on August 1st. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. This is Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg on VSiN, the sports betting network. We're in the top of the second inning at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies with a 1-0 lead over the New York Yankees. Yankees do have a runner on first with two outs. Christopher Sanchez so far here in this game has just one strikeout, one walk as well. He's given up one hit in an inning and two thirds. Will Warren in that bottom of the first inning did strike out one without a walk. He gave up the triple to Trey Turner to start the game, although some would argue it really wasn't a triple. It was more like a single with a bad route taken by Trent Grisham. So mental error, physical error, I don't know. But it was a triple by Trey Turner followed by a sacrifice fly from Kyle Schwarber. So 1-0 Phillies as they try and get out of the top of the second here and bat in the bottom of the second. We have the Phillies laying a half run in the first five innings, backing Sanchez here. And we did sprinkle on that Will Warren race to three strikeouts. They both have one strikeout right now. So let's see if we can cash that plus 260 wager there. Sanchez does get his second strikeout, though, as he gets out of the inning here against the Yankees. I think he just struck out. Who did he strike out? Caballero. So two strikeouts for Sanchez as the Phillies take the 1-0 lead to the bottom of the second inning. Live line right now up on DK. Phillies minus 400 on the live run line. -2.5 plus 104. I don't know how you can just bet that. I mean, I think the Phillies will continue to score. I do. I just don't know how you bet that run line because they're not going to bat in the ninth inning. They're not going to bat. In fact, there's a fun bet that you can make on some of these sports books, DK included, where if you like a home team that's favored, like the Phillies were at -2 and change, you can actually bet that team at reduced vig by placing the prop bet on will they bat in the ninth inning or not. Now, you lose out on an opportunity to have a walk-off win in the ninth inning or if the game goes to extra innings, but that's why it's, you know, reduced vig is because it's a little bit more difficult to, or you're not giving yourself as many chances to win, but it's a fun way to take a favorite as a home team, not lay the run line. Cause if you're thinking, I don't want to lay -200, I might as well get the plus money or reduced vig by laying the run line. Well, instead of doing that, some of these books offer a prop bet. Will X team, will the Phillies bat in the ninth inning? And you say no. And that's your way of betting the Phillies to basically win the game in regulation, if you will. It's like a regulation bet in hockey or soccer or whatever. You're just betting that they don't bat in the bottom of the ninth. Phillies with a 1-0 lead as they go to the bottom of the second inning. We'll keep you up to date on everything going on here on Sunday Night Baseball. We were talking about the Miami Marlins last segment and their 12-game losing skid, which some have argued, and I don't even know how much of an argument it is, that it couldn't have come at a better time for Miami. The trade deadline is a week away on August 3rd. If you go back to July 10th, which is when the Marlins were surging, which is when we talked about the Marlins chasing down the Phillies and the Braves in the National League East, the Marlins being a wild card team, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic reported, quote, that the Marlins were, Ken Rosenthal reported that the Marlins were going to keep Sandy Alcantara past the trade deadline. Quote, barring an utter collapse, end quote. Barring an utter collapse. 12 straight losses is an utter collapse. And now the Marlins should trade Sandy Alcantara, who has returned to form since coming back from his injury. It took some time. Last season, he wasn't himself. This season, he was back to being Cy Sandy. At one point, he was winning a bunch of games in a row. And there are a lot of teams out there that really want Sandy Alcantara, and he can contribute to a team that is in a pennant race. There was a report from MLB Network's John Paul Morosi earlier this week who said, quote, they are headed towards Sellersville, I believe, on their journey to the trade deadline. They've got the pieces, especially in the rotation, to really capitalize on what is a fairly shallow supply of elite talent out there. I think this tips towards selling, and they can really do a great job of building for a future when they can win the division against teams like the Phillies and Braves, end quote. That was MLB Network's John Paul Morosi. Joel Sherman of the MLB Network, quote, in some ways, this is a well-timed losing streak because they should probably be playing for the future for as early as next year. If they're winning, they're kind of forced to go for it, and they're probably not a team that's good enough right this second to go for it, but they have a lot of things in place, and they have some pieces, Alcantara, for example, to add more pieces to go for it next year. This is not a rebuild for 29, 30, or 31. They could be real factors next year, end quote. That was Joel Sherman. Perfectly said. Perfectly said. The Marlins don't need to rebuild for 3 years from now. They have shown this year, with their ability to win games this year, that they're good enough to compete next year. Heck, they were good enough to compete this year to an extent. They just need more pieces. They need to develop more. They need everyone to be healthy. And then next year, they can compete for the division when the Phillies are an aging roster and maybe they don't look like the same version of the Phillies that they look like right now. By the way, Bryson Stott just hit a solo home run in the bottom of the second inning. Phillies take a 2-0 lead over the New York Yankees. The Marlins should absolutely be sellers at the deadline, and this losing streak came at the best time. Again, if you just joined us last segment, I speculated that this losing streak was not a coincidence. That pure speculation. Somebody in the organization got wind of the plans, or somebody outside the organization, somebody connected to the players, agents, whoever, coaches, players, I don't know. That when all this winning happened, and the idea of the Marlins not being sellers, the idea of the Marlins staying put and maybe go for it this year was being floated out by everybody. Somewhere, someone got it through that the plan was to still sell. And the players took a morale hit, and thus their performance has suffered. 12 straight losses for the Miami Marlins. Sandy Alcantara, definitely one of the top names available at the deadline as far as a pitcher is concerned. Some other top names available at the trade deadline that will help contenders around Major League Baseball. From a pitching perspective, Robbie Ray is going to make a team very happy here at the trade deadline. Robbie Ray is a guy who has come on as of late for the Giants and should find himself on a contending team come next week. Robbie Ray, who probably pitched his final game at Oracle earlier, when he went yesterday, 6 shutout innings against the Angels. In the month of July, Robbie Ray, 21 innings, 5 earned runs. In the month of June, 5 earned runs in 33 innings. Yeah, he had a rough go of it early on in the season. But in the last 2 months, Robbie Ray has allowed only 10 earned runs in 54 innings. He's going to be the top, him and Sandy Alcantara, likely the two top arms available here at the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And a team that we should be paying attention to, despite a nice come from behind win earlier today that stung me because I had a bet on the Dodgers. The New York Mets are going to trade a lot of players here at the trade deadline. This has been a disaster of a season for the Mets, an absolute disaster. Now Juan Soto's on the IL for the foreseeable future. The Mets are going to be big-time sellers. It's just a matter of how many pieces do they trade. We know that some of their pitchers, their relief pitchers, are going to be available. Clay Holmes going to be available. Freddy Peralta in the rotation going to be available to a team that wants him. I mean, who else are the Mets willing to part ways with? AJ Minter, Luis Robert, could Francisco Lindor get traded at the deadline? Lots of questions surrounding the New York Mets, and I think they are a fascinating team to watch here at the trade deadline coming up next week. We do have a trade that just went down here in Major League Baseball. I'll tell you about that coming up next and get you updated with Sunday Night Baseball. I wanted to remind you guys, the Circa Survivor documentary is back, and it's bigger than ever, with $18.7 million on the line and a grand DCMO new format. which raises the stakes. If you missed episode one, you can catch it now on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Episode two will air this Wednesday, 9 p.m. Pacific. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. Whether you play Circus Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss this. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, or you can catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. This is the Sports Betting Network.